know what really makes us mad? Is wasting money on CDs with only one or two good songs.
Yeah. Tell them about punk!
What's up, Ozerkers? Welcome to Punch Lotta Pod. I am your co-host, Justin Hensley.
And I am your other co-host, Dylan Hensley.
I don't know why we both said that, like, weird.
Hey, it's your other co-host.
We return for our best of 2020. You know, last week we did the more legendary punk bands, your establishment punks, your next generation of punk DIY stuff. This week, we're going to get even more minute and look at subgenres and region-specific stuff. So, if you didn't know what we were talking...
clearly the B-side episode.
Yeah. So, this is going to be, like, the more aggressive stuff, the... Which Dylan didn't listen to a lot.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of work on this.
Yeah, because Dylan listened to 12 new records that came out this year.
Don't tell them how many.
And I'm like, well, I got 375 and counting. So if anything comes out between December 17th and January 1st, it's just going to go next year if it is worth keeping for another year. But yeah, some more genre, smaller stuff. We have an and the rest section, which I think that's where Dylan will tell us what non-punk stuff he listened to.
Not very much.
70s country records.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want me to do that, like all of the 1964 singles I listened to, or the jazz records I listened to, or...
Do you remember one year where you did on the blog the albums that didn't come out that year that you listened to? And everybody was like, and you were like, who wants this?
Yeah.
No one.
No one.
No one wanted that blog.
No one's ever wanted anything I've ever written. You can't stop me.
It's a sickness.
I can't stop myself either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of which ones we should start with, but we just might just go down the list as I have it written here. Let's look at Screamo off the top. I have a couple things picked out. 2019, I kind of found myself really getting back into Screamo. There was this new wave of bands that were not from the La Dispute and Touche Amore school of Screamo. Because whenever those bands were on top, then it was that kind of sound for a little bit. So within the last like 2 or 3 years, it's gone more towards the late 90s, early 2000s style Screamo as far as what's popular. So like in 2019, I really got into Shin Guard and Senza and one band I'm going to talk about today as well. But yeah, Screamo's doing stuff that I find interesting again.
It's gone back more... It seems like it's gone back more into the DIY scene. It's not as... though, I mean, I don't know. It's a scene that always puts up big numbers, sales and such. But yeah, I think the approach is definitely less streamlined, at least the approach to recording and writing. It's not the necessarily the slick, hot, independent... punk label sound that we had for a few years.
Yeah. I got like three that I specifically want to talk about, and then like I got a couple other like honorable mention-y type things that were I wanted to mention. But first I wanted to talk about Abandoncy, Hollow Living.
Yeah.
Bandit Z are a Kansas City, Missouri trio, and one of the two representative picks for Zagema Beach Records on this list. That label has released something new at least twice a month that I was interested in. So I counted 39 releases from that label this year. Now, a lot of them are cassettes. A lot of them were, you know, actually a majority of them are cassettes. There are a handful of 7-inches and maybe one or two LPs, but that's where, like, kind of the DIY aspect of thing is comes in, because there's a lot of, like, just, like, limited to 30 or 50 cassettes that the label put out, and they're definitely kind of keeping the torch alive, along with a couple other labels, like, The Ghost is Clear, and a few more that I'm currently blanking on, but...
Yeah, it's, yeah. And there's one other big one that I'm trying to think of.
Dog Night?
Maybe.
Yeah, this was Zagema Beach. I like this one a lot because it's this, I think the Ghost is Clear co-released this as well. So one of the bios that I read on this band compared them to Unwound and Drive Like Jehu. And while I probably never would have guessed that on my own or even thought of that, it kind of makes sense. So like this, the guitar work on this isn't, it's a little more jangly and a little bit more, I don't know. There's some mathy aspects to it. I guess that's the... where the Jehu thing comes from. One thing I said it had the Drive Like Jehu skronk to it, which I definitely get a little bit of that too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they to me they really reminded me a lot of Wolves with their kind of more like jangly, rattly sounding guitars and just kind of the shouty vocals, not the screechy vocals. Really, really, really reminded me of Daniel Striped Tiger. Just a band and I really, especially the latter half of their career.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not like the screechy hardcore stuff. I never was a big screechy hardcore fan anyway. Yeah.
This is one of those bands that is kind of like, it fits with that, like, what were the labels? Like Level Plane or like,
3-1-G. No, they were shrieky. When she had a lot of shrieky bands. So did Ebullition.
Yeah. Maybe like half of like the Ebullition. Or I'm thinking of like Clean Plate, Protagonist. A lot of the kind of stuff that they did that was more on the like, more on the maybe post-hardcore side, but on like a real out there, like Sonic Extreme. Like a lot of just like playing with feedback and making noise in the background and I think this was the record that someone plays a power drill. Maybe that was one of the other records on this list.
Maybe.
Maybe look at this again, because it says on the Sorted Sounds by Everyone. Yeah, there was one power drill and saw on track 4.
It's a fun record. It's kind of more experimental in some places too than a lot of other straightforward screamo records, so it's fun. I like it a lot.
I think that's probably where maybe like the Unwound comparison comes in as well, that sonic like exploration kind of thing, drone-y stuff.
Okay, moving on to No Man, Erase. No Man, it has the how do you pronounce that O with a line through the middle? I should have looked this up beforehand.
I think it usually makes like an sound. No Man.
No Man.
No, it's more like yeah, it is more of an it's like a French EU sound, like like booth or blue.
Regardless, however, yeah. It's
I'm
pronounced.
Sure you're not supposed to pronounce it that way.
Yeah, it's just No Man. No Man, Erase. Okay, so this is a really cool record. No Man is made up of all three members of Majority Rule, the Richmond Legends, along with the addition of Maha Shami on vocals. So Maha is the Michelle's partner, I believe, who is the lead singer of Majority Rule. And he plays guitar in this band as well. And her voice would be familiar, if especially if you're a Majority Rule fan, on Packaged Poison on the Page 99 split.
Okay.
So she has been there. I mean, she's been part of Majority Rule, essentially, since the way back then. And then I actually saw Majority Rule on that little mini tour they did with Page 99, where they wound up playing at Fest 2, Take a Drink. And she came out and sang... she came out and sang that song. So the No Man came about from them having fun playing and wanting to make new music, and also including Maha on vocals. So it sounds like a Majority Rule record. Like, who are one of the... I think anyone who likes Majority Rule really likes Majority Rule. But at the same time, they're probably not one of the most... like, one of those touchstone bands as far as, like... more people know Page 99 and City of Caterpillar than they do Majority Rule, which is disappointing.
Yeah, they've always been overshadowed by the bands that were the other big bands that were going on at that time. That maybe had, I mean, like in Page 99's case, like had been around for longer, but which is, so that's, I mean, understandable. But yeah, Majority Rule never really seemed to get the same like internet scrams nerd appreciation. I feel like the people that were that I know who are more have always been more on probably more on the hardcore side. Like our buddy Grant from Bitter Melody was into them, had seen them I think when they were active and initially. Yeah, I didn't see them in the the typical circles, but they had the Page 99 split, so people were aware of them.
Yeah, I think Majority Rule are better than Page 99. That's probably a hot take. But
I think Majority Rule is more consistent than Page 99.
Even the highlights to me are better than Page 99's. They are, yeah, consistent.
You didn't spend nearly as much time annoying your roommates listening to Page 99 as I did.
No. I mean, this record's good. It's so, they're tight. They're tight.
Yeah.
Like, seeing Majority Rule play live years after they even broke up, they were flawless still. Like, it was like listening to the record, just, like, insanely louder and in, like, a spooky lighting scenario. But, but like, they are phenomenal musicians, and it really, like, those same three musicians are in this band. And Maha's voice is perfect for this sound, too. Like, this is a monster record. Is it screamo? Arguable, I guess. But it's not typical hardcore. It's not metalcore, though there's certainly metal elements. I don't know, I've never fully been able to like put them in any other category other than screamo.
Yeah, I think it straddles a couple of different...
there's a lot of noise involved in it too.
Lines, and yeah, which, and much in the same way that Majority Rule did. Like, I think Majority Rule are more easily grouped with screamo just by scene association, but the sound of those records is a pretty big, pretty mixed bag of extreme sounds at that time. So I think this is just a little further removed from any particular scene. So it's, you want to kind of analyze it differently. But to me, it's a clear natural extension of what they did in the previous band. So
yeah, it's great. I really like it. Moving on to Nuva Oscura, As We Suffer From Memory and Imagination.
Yeah!
So this is the band I was talking about when it came to 2019 bands that I made me get back into screamo. So they put out a self-titled record in 2019 and then put out this record this year. Like, they wasted no time between their first and second full-length albums. I was reading that the first album was written between 2016 and 2018, and then this album was written between 2017 and 2019. So clearly they've just got a bunch of songs just, like, written already. And so they're just like, let's bang these out, knock them out. I mean, for you to write for 2 years and then still have leftovers from that writing to be included on your second album, I mean, that shows, like, this, I don't know.
Yeah, they've got long-term vision.
Yeah.
They write, it seems like they write the whole batch of songs and then do them.
Yeah. Divvy up where they go, I guess, after. Or maybe there were just some songs on this record that didn't fit the last one, and they were just like, let's save it, and then they just maybe reworked it for this. But this record's great, too. I feel like it got a little overshadowed. I mean, I blame that on 2020. The release schedule is very strange, so, like, I feel like when the record comes out, a lot of times it gets forgotten about fairly quickly. I don't know. Especially with screamo. Screamo's, like, very fleeting, it seems like, attention-wise.
I mean, this was released in the middle of June, so that was very understandable for people to kind of overlook this one. And everyone just kind of in that, like, oh, so shows aren't gonna come back realization.
This was co-released with Zagima Beach as well, along with Dog Night Records. Yeah. What's really cool about this is the band gave over $5,000 from the profits of their albums this year to, like, a ton of different charities. Now, I don't know that this album made $5,000 or if they were just doing everything they had, but hell, there's money in screamo if if they raised $5,000 even between two records.
Yeah.
And that's all profit. So I don't know if they just went ahead and, like, paid the fees for the pressing, and then everything after that was where it came from, but regardless.
Yeah, I mean, all profits, so I'm sure after recouping.
Yeah. It was a split between two labels, too, so, yeah. I mean, maybe that's part of it. Made it a little lighter on the label to recoup each, but I don't know. They've made a name.
I think they included a pretty big list of... Mm-hmm. Of where their money went. So they really spread it around. Some tenants unions, some community outreach, mutual aids, bail funds, where the money really needs to go. All of those places. Not to any big nonprofit orgs with high paid board members.
Yeah. Yeah. It was recorded by Jack Shirley at the Atomic Garden. So you know it sounds good. It sounds really good. It's screamo has a tendency to not sound great as far as the recording quality. That comes from the DIY-ness, I guess. But anytime, like, a band does manage to put money into it or work with a known name, it really helps them shine. Because screamo's so dynamic anyway. Like, you really want a good producer or engineer working with. So
I'd be curious to know what their approach to recording this record was. It kind of has, like, it has Jack's pretty standard sound as far as sound. I mean, it sounds like it was mostly recorded live, which, from what I understand, that usually starts with, he tries to not do so much overdub heavy stuff, but sometimes it calls for it. But
yeah, it's good stuff.
I do really love his approach, though. Like, he just tries to capture an accurate picture of a live band.
Yeah, yeah. And not, like, in a way that's clear, that you can hear everything.
Yeah.
Because there are some producers who have done, like, that live sound, and then it's like, I mean, I would have liked to have heard it a little more clearly. I guess I'm thinking more to, like, more 2000s stuff like that, but I'm looking at you, that Chariot, first Chariot record. yeah, it sounds great. They're kind of one of the bigger names in, like, the screamo revival thing going on right now, so. I mentioned Zagima Beach. Like I said, they had 39 records that came out this year. Some of them were, you know, compilations of material, like entire discographies of some other bands. But I did want to mention they put out that Stormlight album, Natoma, that features members of Loma Prieta. And it is kind of in that Loma Prieta sound. Loma Prieta got a little bit more... Their sound got different. They branched away a little bit from screamo, I think, and got into more noisy, atmospheric stuff.
Yeah.
So Stormlight feels more like old Loma Prieta, honestly. There's the Kamuso and Setsuko split. Those are pretty good, both Japanese bands. There's an EP from a band called Lorne Malvo, who is a Fargo reference, Fargo the series reference. They're a Swedish band. And another Japanese band called Nadir, who put out an album too. They put out a couple this year, actually, more than one. The big ones, Envy put out The Fallen Crimson. I talked to Paul about that record. Norse put out Blue. That one was pretty good, kind of heavy. Record Setter, that one got a lot of attention a couple weeks ago. I Owe You Nothing, a lot of recognition. Some Brooklyn Vegan articles written about them. Plague Walker put out Para Mis Enemigos. They are a South American band. I'm pulling up exactly what country they're from. They're not from Indiana. That is where the record label is from. Never mind, this says they are from Indiana. I don't know if that's right. Pretty sure the whole record's in Spanish. I mean, they can be from Indiana and write an entire record in Spanish if they want, yeah. But for some reason, I thought I read at one point that they were from South America, but I could be wrong.
Members of Gas Up Your Hearse, I think, which looks like that band had a bunch of different members. Yeah.
Well, never mind.
Plague Walker. Indiana band.
Indiana band. Middleman Records. Yeah, so that's the Screamo stuff I was checking. Some of the Screamo stuff I was checking out this year. Moving on to post-punk, post-hardcore, post-whatever. There's a little bit different sounds on this list, but first I want to talk about All Hits, Men and Their Work. Are kind of an enigma, sort of. There's no real social media, as far as I can tell. No Instagrams, Twitters, or Facebooks. They have a Bandcamp that has very little information on them. They are a three-piece out of Portland, I believe, is what I've been able to gather. It was released by Iron Lung in the middle of summer. It didn't get a ton of like promotion either, but it was like dropped as an LP in the middle of summer. So clearly, Iron Lung had some faith in this record. This is one of those records that's like, it feels like it came from another time period. Like, it's post-punk and really noisy, a little crusty. Like, I hear some crass elements in here. There's some, like, long-lost UK punk, post-punk vibes on here. That's kind of like a no-frills approach to, like, songwriting and even, like, packaging. It's just, like, a black-and-white album art. And you know what it is? It's Mysterious Guy hardcore. It's just not guys.
Yeah, and not really hardcore either.
No.
It's just kind of sort of Wire, early Devo. The Iron Lung Bandcamp has it tagged Raincoats, Sleater-Kinney, Wipers. Not bad comparisons.
It is more of a middle ground of like those sounds than... like, I wouldn't listen to this record and go, Sleater-Kinney.
Yeah, no.
It's too reverb-y and like... Not angular, because Sleater-Kinney's got some angular guitar work, but like sinewy. I don't know how to describe it. More Wipers than Sleater-Kinney sound.
Yeah.
But then just like a UK version of it. It's a great record though. Okay, here's a really, 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 really big one for us. Bacchae's Pleasure Vision.
Thank you.
We talked about them on our radio episode. We talked to them on one episode with Katie and Rena. And I feel like we've talked about them one other time.
We've mentioned them at least one other time.
And then on Twitter, I talk about them all the time and mention them anytime I can. Because they're that good.
This one could have... this is one that could have landed in our Degeneration X category. Attitude Era. New, sort of on the, maybe on the new school punk indie. They cover some ground, I think. Mm-hmm. Post-hardcore is a good place to start, though, I guess. Mm-hmm. Post-punk. I mean, we talked about, kind of their Jawbox, Burning Airlines influences. They recorded this with Jay Robbins. It's such a great sounding record and just a great record. Like, the songs are great and the recording is great.
Yeah, there's definitely, there's the synth work in there that gives the, that's where, some of the post-punk aspects come in. Even some new wave, really.
Sort of new wave, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely, a catchiness and a bounciness to some of those songs. And then, they're a Washington, D.C. band, so, there's always that, D.C. hardcore that kind of seeps into most D.C. bands. Like, the town is full of such legendary groups that it's, if you're from that area, it's gonna seep in to the music, whether it's intentional or not. And that's there. I mean, it helps Jay Robbins produced it too, so it's I don't know. You could dance along with some songs on this record. There's disco beats on Turns Me On almost. And then you could rage out to Leave Town. And it's a perfect record from beginning to end. I adore this entire record. It is it's up there with the Oceanator record with my favorite records of the year. I said that was my number one record, quote, whatever you want to, whatever that means exactly. Oceanator is my 1A, Buckeye is my 1B, like that. I love this record so much. I listened to it. And I think it's my most listened to album of the year.
Was this the record, that you got convinced Billy Power to buy?
Yeah.
I was listening to this record not too long ago, and multiple songs were reminding me a lot of Blenderhead.
Yeah, I can see that. He was a big Jawbox fan, so that was kind of the sound that they were going for. Yeah, that was just me. I just tweeted, "This record's really good, and you should get it for Bandcamp Friday." And Billy responded with, "Okay, I will." And he did. He posted a picture of it when he got it a couple weeks later. I was like, "Holy shit!" It's so good. So I'm responsible for 3 copies sold to this record. I love it. I love it.
What's your 15%? We've talked about this band a lot this year, and we will continue to talk about this band a lot next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, very much looking forward to what they do next. I know it's going to be great. I really hope this band goes far. I really hope we get some flute solos in there and some some free jazz. I would sincerely love to hear that. That's not a joke. I really want that. I really think they could pull it off.
Yeah, it's good. Moving along, so I have this record on here. It is Ditches, and it's their self-titled album, Ditches. And I had a hard time kind of even figuring out where the fuck to put this record.
Marked Manworth, if that's a category.
Right. Which in and of itself is what is that? Is that a post-punk style? I guess it is.
It's super catchy. It's if you consider it's if you consider Buzzcocks post-punk. But not latter period actually clearly post-punk Buzzcocks. Singles Going Steady Buzzcocks.
Yeah, there's definitely the Marked Men sound is very distinct. Radioactivity as well. Was it Denim Texas sound? Is that what they call that? There's some little bit of Hot Snakes in there too. They were the other band that kind of did that thing. They're based out of Stockholm, Sweden, which you would not expect listening to this record. But maybe it takes a Swedish band to be what are the trends right now? Oh, we don't care about that. We just want to do Marked Men.
Yeah, which I'm here for it. My note for this, revisiting it, because I had heard songs from this earlier this year, shuffling your big playlist, and they kept coming up, and every time I was like, who is this? Who is this? my primary note here is I'm always surprised there isn't more outright marked Megadeth.
Yeah.
Such a good sound.
Yeah. It's a good record. It is very much just, yeah. It's very much marked men worship. So, like, it's kind of hard to talk about as far as unique aspects of their music, but it's still an enjoyable record. Moving on to Photocrime, South of Heaven. So we talked a little bit about this record on our first radio episode. This is the second Photocrime full-length album. It's post-punk, goth rock-inspired sort of solo project of Ryan Patterson at Coliseum. He does have a live band that he utilizes. Though I don't believe they're on the record. As far as I know, it's all Ryan and his drum machines, right?
Yes. This one, because I remember him posting some stuff on social media about making this record. I want to double check. I'm pretty sure Principle of Pain had some contributions from the other musicians in his group, but this one he wanted to record it entirely himself. Or I mean, play everything himself. Produced in part by Jay Robbins, also in part by Steve Albini.
Oh wow. Nick Thinneman and Shelley Anderson played on the first record as well, Principle of Pain, but they're not, he still is like the primary musician on that record too. They're more of like additional. But yeah, this one is just like all him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything aimed at all health, which it's, he describes it as a very, very personal record. So that I'm sure, I mean, that makes sense why he, all of it himself. But I'm surprised this one wasn't better received. It doesn't seem like there was much talk about it. And I guess part of that's probably just the timing of when it came out. Because, I mean, he was on the release tour when everything started shutting down.
Yeah.
It came out in March 13. So he had been in, he was in Mexico posting gorgeous pictures of Mexico City. I was so jealous watching those posts from him. And then had come back and maybe played like one LA show and then they canceled the run.
Yeah, when was the NBA shutdown? It was like March 8th, wasn't it?
Yeah. It so was like just the from the time that we lost.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those records that, yeah, it came out at probably the worst point it could have come out this year. There's probably 3 weeks this year that you did not want to put anything out. And that first week of lockdown was the one. You're just like, what the fuck are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't care about new music. I mean, I admit it. We stopped doing the show for a month and a half.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to new music. I didn't listen to music, I think, for a month.
So I'm looking at this. He didn't do everything because there are some guest vocals, which would be very obvious if you listen to it. Janet Morgan from Channels does some vocals on here, and Nick Dineman from Young Widows, Eric Dino from Kerosene 454, and Rob Moran from Unbroken do contribute some instruments to the record. But
Jay Robbins worked on this one too.
Yeah, it looks like. Yeah, some of the tracks were recorded by Albini, and then some of it recorded by Jay, and everything mixed by Jay. It's a cool sounding record. It's just a cool sounding record.
Yeah, it's just cool as hell. It is very, it's leaning on the more goth side, I think, on this record. A lot more electronic elements to this record than the last one. I wasn't as immediately hooked on this record as I was Principle of Pain. It took me a couple. This one had to grow on me a little bit before I like really got into it. I think it's because it starts with the song Invisible, which is a very like slow song for Photocrime. So it like sets an odd tone and pace for the record that I wasn't anticipating when I got into it originally. So I had to come back to it to fully enjoy it. Sometimes expectations kind of ruin a listening experience for myself. And that's on me. That's no actual reflection of the music itself. It just means that I was anticipating something else than what I got. What I got was 10 incredible songs that I didn't want, I wasn't ready to appreciate when I first listened to it, but it definitely grew on me.
Yeah. It's aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I genuinely love Ryan's aesthetic. I've loved his artwork for a long time, and we've talked about Colosseum plenty of times, so we don't have to get all into that, but he's got a sound and a voice and a presence that is really, really cool to watch.
Yeah. He's someone that I look up to and respect a lot as an artist. While I rarely feel like I create art much on my own, it's kind of his willingness to stick to his vision is what gives me kind of the inspiration, even the inspiration to do this show. Like, I like doing this show because I think it's fun to have these conversations, but at the same time, it's cool to see someone, whenever I stop and I'm like, what am I doing? What can I do to make the show bigger or better? And it's like, I mean, there are things I can do, but ultimately, it's do the show the way I want to do the show. And there's someone like Ryan Patterson who does what he wants to do. He stopped Colosseum to do this, yeah. Essentially. Like, and even his artwork, like Shirt Killer is kind of his company. And Cat Magic Punks is brilliant. I'm wearing a Cat Magic Punks shirt now. I own multiples, so he's someone I look up to.
Katie bought a Cat Magic Punks tote this year.
Yeah.
Which was a fundraiser. And we got like a bag in the mail of, I didn't know she ordered it, and we got a bag in the mail with like a Shirt Killer label on it. I was like, what's this? I didn't order anything. She just came across it on Instagram.
Yeah. So I really like and love a lot of Ryan Patterson's everything. So yeah, this record's great. To a record that I think got some hype, but I don't know if it got all of the hype that it should have, is Ganser's Just Look at That Sky. I may have said this more on Twitter than on the show, but I feel like Ganser should have been one of the most critically acclaimed bands in punk and DIY music this year. I feel like they got a lot of music press when the album came out, a little bit leading into it. And it has shown up on some of those best of lists, but it's not usually that high up on some of them. I don't know. At one point, I want to say it was the same week that Oceanator put their record out that... No, maybe it was around when Barty Strange released his album. And Ganser was tweeting that there's no reason why Pitchfork could not have made Oceanator and even their record. They even claimed this themselves. There's no reason why Pitchfork should not have been spotlighting those albums when they came out. And I distinctly remember thinking then, I was like, yes, because these are the most exciting records of the year. Oceanator, Ganser, Barty Strange, Shamir, all happen to be black artists. There is a connecting tissue there as far as why some mainstream press would not be doing their job.
Yeah.
They did make Barty Strange, like, what, album of the week, and then did they even give it, like, it was on their best of 2022. So, like, I think they knew they fucked up, but they didn't make it right by Ganser and Oceanator. This record, I sent you a post on Instagram yesterday, and it's one of the, from one of those, like, 80s aesthetic, like, Instagram accounts. And it was a picture of a white sports car, probably Lamborghini,
in a Countach.
Yeah,
probably, yeah.
In a swimming pool, and it was like white tile, and like, is there like a palm tree in the, yeah, in the shot too? And I was like, this is what I think of when I listen to this Ganser record.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, it was that, like, the retro 80s, 90s, the vaporwave.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even sound like what you would call vaporwave music at all. Like, there are some synths on this record, but it's not like just pure Stranger Things soundtrack synth or anything like that. This is, it's been tagged as art punk, but anytime I've ever used the term art punk, I'm usually more referring to something like pure Ubu or, you know, skronking on a sax very poorly with yelpy vocals. This is more like capital A art punk. Like, I visualize, like, that 80s clean fashion design artwork that you could see, like, that is like kind of metallic, some marble columns, glass bricks, pastel colors, neon lights to an extent, those like Grace Jones paintings from the 80s. Like, that's what I think of when I listen to this record. It's
I get a little bit of that. I mean, I get some wire. I get, I have a, my note was, I made was, that's one of my, well, okay, I want to throw this out there. That is one of my favorite album covers of this year.
Oh yeah, it's so cool.
So cool. It's, just Google it. I'm not even going to describe it, because if you haven't seen it, you'll know exactly why. But my other note was, I put Portishead punk.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got some kind of trip hop beats and some atmosphere and kind of just like some like meditative kind of droning vocals.
It's a lot of stuff. It's there's like noise rock aspects, some no wave in there.
Yeah.
Like, and then there's like your Jawbox kind of post hardcore punk. Like, it's super slick, but it's
it reminds me of there's kind of a French post hardcore sound. There's always like some French bands that do this every year. It's like that In Track Twist. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was maybe they're not French, but let me look them up. In Attendant Anna.
Mm-hmm.
That they put out a record this year. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. French, kind of an indie pop punk, post hardcore, post punk kind of thing. Which they're more on like the poppy side, but it has that je ne sais quoi.
I can't
really put my finger on, but
it does have that like French aesthetic. I don't know. 80s French aesthetic. I don't know. You know,
Baton Rouge, which was like a post-Dytro, post-hardcore project, I'd kind of put that in like an art punk.
I mean, category. Because we cannot easily narrow this down and define it as like this one specific thing, it is cross-genre. It is art punk in the sense that it's challenging and unique. It is a challenging record. I would say it's not a pop-centric record. It's not a feel-good record, but it isn't. I don't want to say it's an interesting record, because that makes it sound like it's not good. It just makes it sound like it's, huh, that's interesting. No, it's very good. Yeah. It's just like, it's cross-genre. They're from Chicago. It's good. It's just like, maybe it's too challenging for the, maybe it's too challenging for the pitchforks and the,
I don't know. I mean, It's also very Sonic Youth-y. Like, I feel like it's not that inaccessible.
True, true. There is very a Sonic Youth. I don't like Sonic Youth, and I like this record. So, I don't know. It's just a cool record that does a lot of different things. It's a fresh-sounding record, for the most part, to me. Yeah, highly recommended. Continuing on, I have Lie's You Want It Real. Lie's are a Vancouver post-punk, post-hardcore band. They're one of those ones that's one of those post-punk bands that are on, like, the more aggressive side. Like, I think, like, Control Top, like that record that came out last year. It's that, like, fast-paced guitars, but they're not super crunchy. They're, like, more this, like, sort of jangly. I'm thinking of, like, a Minutemen song in my head right now off of Double Nickels, and I'm blanking on which song it is. Space Invaders, that song that he says that in. Hold on, let me pull that up. I have to pull that up. There's a Minutemen quality to the guitar work on some of these songs, but it's just like this fast, aggressive post-punk. It was released on Mint Records, which is kind of a cool record label. They put out that Necking record that came out last year that I really liked. It's kind of 20-minute long run time. It's pretty short, but it's like short and sweet.
Glory of Man. The time monitor. The space measurer.
Space measurer.
I live sweat, but I dream light years.
Yep, that one. Glory of Man. That is the Minutemen song I was thinking of with that guitar tone. Do you see what I'm saying? Like that sound is very much on this Lie's record.
Yeah.
Not vocally. Like ignore what he's singing, but just like listen to that like guitar riff that the mic's doing in this song. That's what I think of when I listen to that Lie's record. So that was a poor recommendation of a really good record. I want to move on to Peroxide Blonde's Never Made Me Cry. So this is another weird one that I was just like, where do I put this? I got this from Adam Yo's article on No Echo. Hi, Adam. And he did a pretty good review of it and talked about the band's like history. They used to go under the name Shinobi. They changed their name to avoid being confused with Shinobu. They're a Philly trio. And I wanted to throw it in like with the post category, but there's definitely more of a, like a Creation Records 4AD thing going on here. Some like the middle ground between like Pixies and Nirvana almost. Like it's not as grunge as Nirvana, but there's definitely like some of that there. And it's a little more aggressive than the Pixies.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, you said like that Creation 4AD, but not like you know, the big ones. More like Catherine Wheel. More
less shoegaze, you know. I mean, Pixies were 480.
More alt rock.
It is. It's like sort of the valley between like the sound that bridged college rock and grunge to me.
I had Shudder to Think? Question mark.
Not vocally. God, it's so hard. Well,
like there's almost something like there's something about the way they're singing that reminds me of Shudder to Think, but not tonally. Like it's just the ambition, maybe. Maybe is where it's coming from. Maybe it's more Faith No More.
I mean, I got a like Swerve Driver style solo in the song Rip Off in there. So like they're kind of a little bit of everything. Like it feels like the pre Nevermind alternative sound.
That riff on Rip Off is very Swerve Driver-y.
Yeah. It's only three songs, super short, but I really like it. Today I'm joined by Anne Lepore, the operator of The Machine Shop, an online music, art, and merch shop. Anne, how's it going?
Hi, it's going well. Even though the world is crazy, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Working through all these end of the year lists and recordings I've been doing. I think you are the last one. So.
Cool. I look forward to listening to the other ones. I saw you had posted a few things. So.
Yeah. It was originally planned to be just a two-parter, and then that first part wound up being 4 hours long, so I had to break that into two parts.
Well, this one won't be too long.
Yeah, and we're recording this on New Year's Eve, so literally nothing else can come out this year.
So. Happy New Year! Hoping for a very wonderful new year, different than the last old year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I definitely think the first few months will be probably more of the same, but
yeah, I think so.
Hopefully.
But we have it. But we have like I think we have a little more hope going into this new year than we did a few months ago. So
feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So
yeah.
So what were you listening to in this awful year?
Well, I will dive right into the new thing that I listen to more than anything else, as far as new stuff, and that is the Muslims. Gentrified Chicken.
I love your fascism and your dick. Wasn't Tantra invented here?
Patronessy!
You know, last year when I did this with you, I had their album from last year, Mayo Supreme, sort of on my like my longer list. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get to talk about that last year. But this year, this was definitely my favorite thing of everything I heard that's new. And I listened to it so much. And I just think it's so great. It's great on every single level. It sounds amazing. I love the singer's voice. I love the way the music sounds. I love every single sentiment in all the lyrics. And I just think they're great. And I do look forward to someday seeing them live when things go back to the regular world. I'm sure that will be very exciting to see them live.
Oh, I'm impressed that you had them already. Like I wasn't even aware of them until this year, which is funny because I live in the same state as them.
That's really funny. Yeah. Like I said, it was like on my longer list for when we talked last year, but I couldn't get to everything. But this, and I really, really liked that album last year, mm-hmm. but this one, I think just like they just like crystallized, like every single song is great. And the, you know, the minute you put it on the very first song, you're just like jump right into it. And I just love it so much. And you like it too a lot, right?
Yeah, I love it. It's in my like top 10 of the year for sure. I think the first song I heard was the Blink 911 song at the very last track.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Which is like, it's a good introductory track. It doesn't really represent what they sound like as a whole, though.
Yeah.
I would probably recommend like Punch a Nazi first.
Yeah. Punch a Nazi and Call the Cops. Like, Call the Cops is in my head. Like, sometimes I wake up and that's in my head because there's just, it's, you know, like, it's just so catchy, but it's also so super awesomely punk and just so right on, you know. It just says exactly what it needs to say, and it's like, and I also love that everything's like short, like, you know, that's my favorite kind of way thing, you know, for things to be it's for things to be shorter than long. So
it's they're so very DIY, like everything they do, I think they do themselves. They don't have any labels. They barely have physical media. Like, there's CDs, I think, but
yeah, this one is never. This one hasn't even ever been physical. This one's only digital. I hope that someday it's on some kind of vinyl type of thing. I would definitely buy that and buy a bunch for my friends.
Right,
give them as gifts.
That would be amazing. I hopefully. Either they decide to do the vinyl themselves, since they seem to do everything themselves, or maybe somebody just offers them, it's like, look, we'll do it, you know.
Yeah, and they're I guess they're young. They're pretty young. They're like, and they're active though, and like they play shows a lot. They have come up to New York a bunch, so I definitely had the opportunity to see them like before everything COVID, but just didn't get up there for it. So I will absolutely make that a priority when things get moving again.
They're definitely on my list of like. See as soon as possible, like the second shows start happening and they're around, I'm gonna go regardless.
Yeah, you'll probably get to see them sooner because they're in your same state. But how far away is that from where you are?
It's about 3 hours.
Okay.
Crazy, but I travel.
We'll make sure that we keep on each other when we see that they're playing, that we're gonna both go see them. I think they're just like everything we need, you know, they deliver on in every way.
They have this really, they kind of embody like the early don't give a fuck attitude of punk rock too, especially like their online social media. They are very just like, they don't care what anyone else thinks.
Yeah. They're, you know, they say this is not a safe space, and and you know, they're talking to assholes. you know, it's a safe space for the, you know, the people that are, you know, are in the right frame of mind, but not a safe space for anyone else. So awesome. My number one pick, and like. Yeah, I hope to see them. My number two pick is fun, and nothing else is in order, but these are really my top two, and then everything else is just a all around. But my number two is Fun Time Object. The Fuzzy Warbles cassette label, which was that band Oop. And this year, back to Fuzzy Warbles with Funtime Objects. So they're always putting out really great stuff on their label. And this one, I have to say, these are people I know, friends of mine, and a very, very good friend of mine is in this band. But it did not affect my feelings about this. I either would have liked it or I wouldn't have liked it, whether friends are in it or not. Fortunately, it's really great. It's fun, but it also has like political lyrics, but like less in a different way than the Muslims, but absolutely still like there's pointed political lyrics, but in a more fun, bubbly package. And also there's a video for one of the songs called Hey Joey. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that.
I didn't get a chance to look at the video. I did want to say that you sent me your list last night, and then like this morning I was sampling a couple of them, and this is the first one I sampled, and I liked it so much that I like immediately bought the cassette. So I was like, this is really good. I have to have this, especially since it's like only on Bandcamp and cassette. So I was like, okay, right. Well, I'm gonna just to have it.
Awesome. Oh, that's so great. I'm so happy to hear that. They it's so fun, right? Mm-hmm. And they do a version of a bag song, which is really great also.
Yeah, they're this I guess kind of post-punk, but then they kind of draw like some Ramones influence in there too. And is Hey Joey specifically a Joey Ramone reference or no? I think it is. Okay.
Yes. And I'll send you the link to the video if I didn't already send it, because then you'll see that it's totally.
Okay.
My friend Tony, who does art with me for like the machine shop. He draws like the bags and stuff, and like a lot of my shirts have his drawings on them. He is the one that made the video. He did like drawings and then filmed it, and it's really cute and fun. And it definitely, like, when you see the video, you know exactly what's going on with that.
I listened to that one song,
Switchblade Serenade.
Yeah, that one had like some strong Ramones vibes to it to me. So that was where I got that impression.
Yeah, it's just fun and just really well done, and it's just like kind of like makes you happy kind of music. But you know, also like I said, you know, there's some slanted, you know, some very specific references and you know, calling out the crummy person that's been our president.
Yeah. Like first track too. Like
yeah, we're right in there, first track. So, yeah. So yeah, I really recommend people check out that label, Fuzzy Warbles, because that label, it's the, like pretty much like everything that's on that label is really good and fun and just like neat. And you know, a lot of the bands on this label are bands that are like just like they are people who like have jobs and they just have a life at like regular life, and then they're not probably ever going to tour, but they're great lovers of playing in bands and musicians. So you know, they're like probably not going to come to a town near you anytime soon, but if you live in New York, you get to see them because all these bands, a lot of them play, you know, in New York a lot, so when things are normal. So yay for Funtime Objects. Okay, so next on my list is Cold Meat, Hot and Flustered from Static Shock Records. Familiar with Cold Meat before this?
No, I just sampled them whenever you sent them to me, and I really like this one too. This was really good. Where are they from?
They're from Australia.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and I found out about them probably like maybe a year or two ago. CJ from Girlsville Records posted about them on her Facebook page, and I just listened to whatever track she posted, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then now I've been trying to track down their stuff. It's really hard to get to find their records because they're from Australia.
Yeah.
And it's just small little, you know, small little labels and very small, you know, quantities printed. So this is kind of like my life's journey now, is to find all of their stuff. But yeah, they're really, really great. And they remind me, I couldn't remember who they were. I was like, who is this reminding me of? And then I realized it reminds me a little bit of the Lost Sounds. Do you know them? Mm-mm, they're no. Like a synth. Lost Sounds are like a synthy punk band that were, let me tell you, that guy Jay Retard, he was in that band. He was in like 5,000 bands, but he was in that band, and the singer, Alicia, she is in a lot of cool synthy punk bands. I think that's what I was really like thinking about when I heard this album specifically. Like it's in that zone, and I love that zone. Like synthy punk is like my favorite thing.
Yeah. You know, I guess it depends. There isn't as much of it as I'd like there to be. But I guess then too, it also depends on like if you get into like more emo circles, they tend to, or like indie circles, they tend to have some synthy stuff, but
yeah, I guess that kind of veers away though from Like, this is, like, frantic to me. Like, I like that it's, like, frantic. Does that make sense? And it's, like, urgent.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like every single song is like a race. And I like that. That's the thing I like about it. So.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, too. I need you to send me recommendations all year long, because I wasn't familiar with a lot of these.
All right. I sure will. You know, like, one or two of these I actually didn't even know about until really close to the end of the year. Oh. And they managed to, like, take, you know, get onto this list. But, yeah, I'll be happy to. And I, you know, I get recommendations from people, too, all the time. Like I said, someone who has great taste, who I just mentioned, CJ from Girlsville Records, is always posting a lot of great stuff on Facebook and new things that I never knew about. So I've learned a lot about a lot of great stuff from her. So, yay. Thanks, CJ. So my next one is the new album by Shopping, who I'm sure you already know is a band that I super love. And if maybe not, maybe we've never talked about Shopping before.
I'm trying to remember. So this is a Rachel Aggs band, right?
Yep. Rachel Aggs. Yep.
You probably mentioned Shopping last year when you were talking about Trash Kit and,
And
what was the other record? Paul. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
and Shopping
had an album too. Yeah, but they were on my long list again last year as well, I think. Or maybe their record was 2018, the one before. But anyway, so Shopping are a great, they're from Scotland/England. And whenever they come to Philly, I go see them, and they were supposed to play in March or maybe April. Oh, I had tickets to see them, and of course it got canceled. Yeah. And I was really, really sad because I love them. I told, you know, anytime I see them, I try to talk to them a little bit. And I told Rachel, like, any band you play in and come to Philly, I will always come to check you out. Now, I haven't seen Trash Kit yet, ever. I don't know that they've ever, like, toured or come over here yet. But yeah, Shopping are so much fun. They're just, there's like this bounce that I love, you know, like, and she you know, she provides the bounce. I love everyone in the band, not just Rachel, so I want to say yay for all the members. But yeah, there's like this bounce that she brings to the sound, that, and she's real stylized, like, when as soon as she starts playing, like, you know, it's like her sound. It's like that, oh man, even I can't even replicate sound of just trying to, about to try to make a guitar sound. I can't sing. I'm like tone deaf. I can't replicate sound at all. It always sounds terrible. I was going to try to do that little thing that she does, like, but that's completely not it. So I don't know. Maybe if you listen to it, you can do it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, like that very special little bass thing that she does, that, like, you know, it's her.
I'll put a clip of one of their songs in here, so hopefully that'll be fairly represented.
You're holding your breath. It's a particular kind of stress. You have a razor sharp tongue. In the game, it's a belligerent style of play, and you're resisting the change just when you need to show me how. Initiative. Why can't you show some initiative? Initiative.
What'd you think? Did you listen to this one?
I didn't get to listen to much of it. The little bit I listened to of it, I enjoyed. I do think...
I don't know if I said the name of the album, All or Nothing.
I don't know if you did or not. If not, there it is. I do know that I think our friend Steve doesn't really like this record a lot, too. I feel like I saw him talking about it a few times this year. So
cool.
It was definitely on my radar.
Yeah, it's... maybe this is like their fourth album. And I think every album is really good. This one I felt like I don't know. This one felt a little teeny bit different than the other ones. Like, I'm not sure what I thought was different, but I just loved it. Definitely, like I said, it made my top whatever list. Did I have a top 10? No, this is like a top 9.
Yeah.
And I just encourage everyone to like check them out and listen to their stuff. And if they play, they come to the U.S. like every year, so you know, they'll be back. I was supposed to see them with that band Automatic. I might have talked about them last year. Automatic, I saw at when I went to that Desert Days festival last year. Remember? Oh, yeah. When I went out to California?
Yeah.
Automatic, the drummer is the daughter of the drummer from Bauhaus, Kevin Haskins, his daughter. And both of his daughters are in bands. He's actually in a band with his other daughter. But they were really great. They were like, they had a keyboard. It was a trio, women, like, again, into that like sort of like synthy kind of angular punk that I tend to like all the time. So, yeah, check them out. Automatic. They're also really good. The next one on my list is just pure dumb fun, and that is the Chats, High Risk Behavior.
I had forgotten that, like, I'd seen the, like, I saw the name on your list first, and then I forgot that I'd seen the artwork for that record, too. Another Australia band.
I know, Australia bringing it.
they've got a lot of great records this year. There's a ton of good stuff coming out of there. Like, between, like, Ammo and the Sniffers last year, that Smarts record I sent you earlier this year that was really good.
Yes, that was so good. And if you go down the rabbit hole on Spotify with like any one of these Aussie bands, it's always like, you know, fans also like, they pretty much, if the band is from Australia, they will only show you other bands from Australia in that fans also like thing. Yeah. But there's every single one that you click on is good.
I don't know. It's so funny when like geography plays a key or plays a part in like, this scene here in this specific area is doing crazy good stuff. So like Australia's got great stuff. Japan has a really cool scene right now. Singapore has a really cool scene.
Ooh,
like in the States, DC and Baltimore are blowing up with like tons of bands. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, like if you looked up like the Cold Meat, you're gonna find like all these other great bands. Like literally you can click on any one of those suggestions and you'll be like, wow, that's really good. Wow, that's really good. That's really good. So yeah, Chat. So you know, no deep thinking here, just fun and silly and goofy, but I listened to that album like 20 times in a row after it came out. I just really enjoy. It's nice to just have like just silly fun, you know. And like I ordered like the special like color edition from like Australia that only was made at one, you know, the record chain there. And so I was into it. I was also going to see them. I had tickets to see them as well. And like, I think it was in April and that didn't happen, of course. So someday I will see them.
Yeah. I think once shows start happening again, it's going to be something every week that you'll want to go to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck yeah. For sure. Now, had you listened to the Jets before?
I think I sampled a little bit of it when it first came out, but I didn't listen to the whole thing at the time. But it is very, like, fun, kind of like, I don't want to call it simple, because that feels like it's talking down on it. But it's like, I don't know, what's a positive version of the word simple? Uncomplicated. Yeah,
it's like, right, it's not complicated. Yeah. Like I said, it's just fun. Like I said, no deep thinking, you know, and like their videos are silly, you know, they're silly, but, you know, but they're part of that scene with Emil and the Sniffers and, you know, the mullets. And
yeah, that bowl, you know, cut.
Yeah. but you know, nothing, you know, it's nothing wrong with just enjoying a fun record, you know. So that's why that it just grabbed me, like, you know, like, oh, it's nice to have this, you know, in the same way like a Ramones is fun, you know, like it's, you know, they don't sound like that, but just the same concept, like music should be fun.
I mean, yeah, you could talk about literally anything in music, you know, so every band serves a different purpose, I think, or multiple purposes.
Yeah, for sure. So, yay, go Australia. Next on my list, this actually really surprised me that I love this album so much. It's Jeff Rosenstock, No Dream. And I really like the idea of Rosenstock, and I like him as a person, and like many of my friends are friends with him and work with him and have recorded with him, and I was never like super wildly into his music. I like the idea of him so much though, and I'm not saying anything like negative about him. He's a great, cool person, and I love what he does, but his music never really spoke to me before. I think this album is just fantastic, and he finally found the way into my heart. I think it's much more like just like punk than like what I've heard in the past, like of what I think is like a good punk, you know, album. But it's like, it's kind of soars. I feel like it like just really soars, and it just really goes to like different heights and a different place than anything I've heard from him before. And I mean, the package is beautiful. The cover looks great. The record is cool looking, you know, and everything about it is just like really well done.
Yeah. I was never a big Jeff Rosenstock fan. Like, it just never like clicked with me. Like, I got it, and there would be songs that I would enjoy, but like overall, like, I never like really got into his albums. And then you were telling me that you were kind of felt the same way about him, but you really enjoyed this record. And I was like, well, I guess I should give it a shot. It's got a ton of people I love on it anyway, like Mike Eugenor, Dan Potthass.
Right. Yeah. Everybody that we like is on this record.
It's full of like great people. And this is like the most I've enjoyed a Jeff Rosenstock album. I mean, I always really liked his first band, the first ska band, Arrogant Sons of Bitches, but I didn't really get into bomb music industry. There was like a chaotic side to his music that this is his most controlled, is what it feels like, and or most melodic, maybe. I don't know. But I enjoyed this way more than any other Jeff Rosenstock record I've heard before.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm happy that you agreed that it was something new and different, and you dug it a little bit, because you probably wouldn't have listened to it if I hadn't mentioned it.
Honestly, probably not. Like, it always gets like his records always get positive reviews. They're always like some of the most well regarded and talked about records of the year. And most of like my immediate circle doesn't even really listen to his music. So when you said something positive, I was like, okay, let's give this one a shot.
Yeah. And I think I'm so happy, because like I wanted to find that connection with his music that all my other friends, so many people are so in love with it. I hadn't quite found it. So this is the entry. Now maybe this is the doorway for me. That happens to me a lot. Like, then I'll say, all right, let me try something else again, or go back to some early stuff. And maybe now, you know, I'll get it.
Yeah. Maybe this is the Rosetta Stone that you needed to fully understand.
Yeah. And also, like, I think I saw they performed on a couple of like nighttime shows. And like Mike Park played with them.
Oh yeah.
And like Dan P was wearing like a Cappy shirt. You know, it's like a whole family scene, and I love that. You know, I think that's really neat. So yay for Jeff Rosenstock and crew. The next thing on my list totally came out of nowhere, and I never heard of this before, and I can't even remember. I don't even know. I think that I was just like in the rabbit hole again. Like I said, like, you know, like if you like this, you'll like this too. And I clicked on it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Fried EM.
So this was one of the last ones I looked at. I didn't really see much information about them, though. I guess I didn't really like look at like Bandcamp or anything like that. Where are they from?
So I did some digging and I found some info about them, because like I said, this is totally new to me, and like it was completely blew my mind. So they're from Missouri. They're from St. Louis.
Okay.
And they, I guess, do you know what Lumpy Records? It's like a label, Lumpy Records. It sounds like people from that record label are in this band, Lumpy Records. I just like saying that. It sounds like it. And It just really like took me by surprise, because it sounds like it could have been released in the 80s. It's, to me, it is like totally like an 80s, almost like an 80s Midwest hardcore punk kind of thing, with like a little tinge of maybe a tiny bit of a Circle Jerks, maybe a little Wasted Youth. It just doesn't sound anything like what's being released right now. The album is Modern World. I don't think I said that. And totally different from everything else here on my list.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this was like probably the most aggressive thing on your list. I didn't think about it having like an 80s hardcore vibe going on. Like, yeah, I guess, was that D-Cruisin'? They were the Midwestern?
Yeah.
Or like, what was it, Battalion of Saints? Or is it Articles of Faith? I always get the two
Articles
of them.
Articles of Faith.
They're the one, love, yeah. Articles.
Yeah, it definitely has it. But I also feel like I heard a little teeny tiny bit of like a Circle Jerks kind of small bit going through. But it felt so like 80s. But like hardcore, like the punky hardcore, not like the hardcore that's like, you know, not like Agnostic Front.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Like,
not even like a Minor Threat or a Black Flag. Yeah.
No. Like, just like that neck, like punk at the next step, where it's just like,
rawr. Yeah.
But it's not like Tough Guy.
Right.
Just like really great. Like, two songs that I wrote down that I especially liked are, one is called Inner Peace, and then another one, Die Laughing. It just really feels like it could have come out like, you know, during the early 80s, even like similar to some stuff in New York too, and like The Abused, stuff like that. I was so pleasantly surprised to find out about this band. I didn't know anything about them until only recently, and yeah, they just jumped right onto my list because it was just so fun and cool. And just, it was like nostalgic, but not like, oh, these guys are just copycats of old stuff.
Right. It's not derivative in any way. It's just inspired by, yeah, an earlier sound that works.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody in a review I read, somebody said it, that reminded them of Flipper. I didn't really hear that.
No. But Flipper's much slower too than this record.
Maybe the vocals. I don't know. I don't think maybe. So.
Yeah.
But this person said they referred to this as thick, aggressive, medium speed punk.
Yeah, I guess it's not like the fastest thing. Sure.
So, it's but I think people should like seek this out, and I want to find out more about them and see what's their story, because I don't know anything about the people or anything. So is this something you would listen to, or is this go off into a little too far out of your zone?
No, this fits right in my zone of that type of hardcore. It's not like not too like out there for me to get into.
It's not like that first White Zombie record.
No, that weird, yeah.
Which let me remind everyone, I love. That very first one that you hated.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't a flipper situation where I listen to Gone Fishing and I'm like, I don't like this at all. But no, I totally got this. This is good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so this will be like our little project to like spread the word of this band and find more about and see what the story is. So there's a lot of stuff going on around at St. Louis, I think, too. You were saying there's a lot of stuff in different places. I think St. Louis seems to have a lot happening. I never saw any bands in St. Louis. I don't think I've been to St. Louis, but I don't really know. Went to a lot of really great record stores when I was there.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's out of St. Louis right now.
Yeah, I just said there's a lot of stuff, and now I can't think of one thing. But I think so. But moving on to my next thing is a compilation put out by Stardom Records, and you know. Of course, I work with Stardom Records like very regularly. Stefan is a great friend of mine, and I love them, and I sell their stuff here in the U.S. for them. So I just like want to let people know that they're my friends and I love them. But I will put if a friend does something I like, I'm going to talk about it. So I thought this was like a really great double album. It's celebrating 20 years of Stardom Records, and at the 10-year mark, he also put out a 10th anniversary record, a similar kind of concept. So this one is all the bands that are on this double album have put something out on Stardom, and they all did cover songs of a band that has done something that was released on Stardom.
That's a really good. That's a really good way to celebrate that.
Yeah, it's a really good way, but it could go wrong. It's you know, it has the potential to go wrong, but it did not go wrong. It went very, very right, and all of these artists did a really great job with the other with other people's songs. I'm not going to say which ones, but there were a couple that I liked the new version better than the original version. So I don't want to make anyone feel bad about that. But of course, this has like all of like my lots of my friends and you know, Kepi Ghouli is on this, of course, and his song is really great. He does a song by a band I didn't know called The Quotes. That like made me like look into that, and I was like, oh, this is really great. So that introduced me to some things that I didn't know Stardom had put out in the past. Some of the other things I love is Lucy and the Rat, and what else? I'm looking at my record right here. I brought it over here. The Apers, and Even in Blackouts, and Travolta's, Jeff Palmer. Lone Wolf. I mean, Mikey Erg does a cover of an Even in Blackout song that I really love, and he did a really great job with that song. It's a really fun. This is just like a nice, fun, well, beautifully put together package. You know, cool color. You know, great vinyl. Everything you know about it is just really fun and nice, and I love. Them. I love Stardom. They just do quality stuff, and I'm really very, very privileged to get to work with them to sell their stuff in the U.S. So
are you the exclusive store?
Right now, for pre-orders, I do all the pre-orders exclusively. And then once stuff is out after a pre-order, then other people sell it too.
Just general distribution after that, yeah.
Yep. So he used to work with Interpunk for pre-orders, and that, of course, exploded and died a terribly painful death. Although, are they still limping along?
I think the site still operates, but, you know, they just take everyone's money and then don't send any of their stuff out. So
right. Nobody gets anything, and, like, nobody gets paid, and it's so weird.
Yep, they're still up, though.
Yeah, that is very strange. So, yeah, so I picked up that Slack from there. And it's been great, and I love doing it. I love everything that they put out. So this was just a fun, wonderful compilation. Did you get a chance to listen to any of that?
Not as deeply as I wanted to. I like this one. I was just like, it's a comp, okay, I'll pick the couple people I know already and listen to those, because, like, you know, full transparency, I basically crammed all these this morning before we recorded, so I didn't get to spend as much time with it as I wanted. But I saw the Kippy song, and I was like, oh, he was kind of quiet this year as far as, like, releasing music. I don't think he had any records.
No, nothing. Oh, well, he did. He put out, like, the Valentine single.
Oh, yeah.
He had, like, two new, like, 7-inches.
Yeah.
And then the reissue.
Which one was reissued this year? Reanimated.
Yeah, for Ghoulies. But yeah, no like big new album or anything. But he's doing lots of stuff.
It's
more on the horizon. And there's all the, you know, the reissues are going to keep happening.
Yeah, they're probably only halfway through, right? I feel like there's a bunch
of Ghoulies records. Yeah, there's more. Some of them, like, their final album was never released on vinyl, so people will be really excited when we finally get to that one. 99
Which
Lives.
Which one is that one?
99 Lives.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be cool when we get there. So it's fun. And take a listen when you get a chance to check out all the stuff. And then it's a good introduction too to say, like, hey, I don't really know that band. Like I said, I didn't know the one band, the Quotes, so I was like, all right, let me check that band out. Hey, there's only one more thing on my list. And it is, I don't even know if I'll pronounce it right. Fleur. That's how I'm saying it. This one also was like a late addition to my top albums of the year. And I only discovered it because of Stardom Records, because when he sends me stuff for distro to sell on the website, I always take a look at, like, other stuff that he has. He sells stuff. So Stardom Records is in the Netherlands, for anybody who doesn't know. So sometimes they have stuff on the website that they get from, like, European labels, and I, like, kind of scroll through and take a look. And if there's anything, like, that he's selling that I want, I'm like, hey, also, let me buy a couple things from you for myself. So I was just scrolling through, and I saw this on his website, and I was like, what is this? And then I listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, this is totally my thing. I mean, I'm a humongous 60s, you know, yay girl, Franz Gall, you know, Francois Hardy, that whole scene. I have like a very large collection of 60s girl compilations of albums and CDs. And when I heard this, like, I pretty much died, like, with happiness. So, this is totally different than everything on the list. It's like 60s, straight up 60s, yay kind of stuff. And it's just heaven to me.
I was surprised by this one. Really, this was the most surprising one. I was like, what is this? And it was like, oh, wow, this is like a real throwback sound. Like, the album artwork too has like a 60s vibe to it. Yes. Like
everything, it's like very authentic. They like, yeah.
Where are they, a group, or is it just a singer?
Okay. So what I think I figured out is that, so it's a singer, you know, with the people backing her up. But I think that she came from another group, but I'm not sure, because some of the stuff is, I was trying to look it up. I thought that maybe they said she had something to do with the group called Les Robots. Les Robots. Let me see. Let me look this up again. Here she is. No, it doesn't have anything else. I don't know why I thought that. And there's no, like, Stefan, like, on the Stardom Records thing, it doesn't say anything about, like, where she comes from, or...
I would... Yeah, I couldn't even tell what language... Is it French?
It's French, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to actually Google Fleur.
Right, right.
when it's
the
a
record
self-titled...
label is called Bickerton Records, and they are out of Spain.
Okay.
So, I'm going to have to do some more studying to find out more. But it's she's current and just like a total like throwback to stuff that I love. Like I said, like very like France Gall. Just so cool. It just has that like awesome vibe that it could have been made in the 60s, you know, like for real. Like it's so authentic. And I just love it. It's like, I have no idea what they're saying. I don't speak French, so.
It's very,
but I could listen to this like all day long.
It's a very pleasant record. Like I was like, oh, this will be like great to put on just to like kind of relax. Even like I really enjoyed the little bit I got to listen to this one.
Yeah, right. I was trying to see if there was any like little other like secret things to learn, like, oh, she's from this band or that band, because like you know April March, you know who she is.
Mm-mm.
So April March did this kind of thing many years ago. She was in a band called the Shitbirds. Do you know that band?
Yeah, I know them. Okay.
Everyone should go out and look and find Shitbirds and listen to them because they're so great. But so she was a singer of that band, and then she did like solo stuff. And she was right in this genre with like trying to do like more like authentic 60s kind of stuff. But she has like a little bit of a squeakier voice. This one is just wow. This is just like wow. Yeah, somebody wrote in the review Les Robots. But I don't know what her connection to them is, so we'll have to look investigate that at some point.
The only thing I see is she's Dutch, actually.
She's Dutch. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Wow. So we're just discovering all kinds of things.
I know.
Yeah. So we'll have to like do some more studying and investigating. But anybody who likes French or any kind of 60s girl group stuff. This is totally for you. Like, you will dig it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for doing the show again. You were with us twice this year?
I think only once.
You did the Black Flag. And you did the IRS bracket with us.
Oh, that was this year. I forgot about that. The IRS bracket. Man, I got a ton of crap from people for that bracket. Man, like, they're not an IRS band. Remember, we picked something that we thought wasn't going to make people cranky.
Right, right.
Because, people like gatekeeping what the thing is that, you know, you've chosen to talk about. And I was like, how can anybody like argue if an album was released on a label, then that makes the band of that label's
right.
band, even if it was only one record. Yeah, but people like, oh no.
We were choosy too. Like we could have been as broad as even reissues and been like, nope, we counted it. But we didn't even do that.
I know. I was still was sad about the final outcome, but about the winner. Oh, well, no, not the final outcome. The finals. I was happy about the winner, but because Oingo Boingo got so far, I was cranky about that. I wanted them to be eliminated way sooner.
I can't remember who the final two were.
English Beat and Oingo. No, it wasn't.
No.
Yeah, was it English Beat and Oingo Boingo? No.
No, I don't think they made it to the final. Remember now. That was like
The Buzzcocks?
No.
Anyway, I got a lot of shit. For this,
yeah.
People saying, Go-Go's aren't an IRS band or whatever isn't. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Just listen and have fun, people.
Just a silly conversation on a podcast.
It's just, silly conversation, right? We're not trying to change the world. We're talking about the English beat. But...
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on.
We'll definitely have you back in 2021. And
very good. And I, you know, I have some ideas, you know. Cool. Well, happy New Year to everyone. And I hope everyone's happy and safe and healthy and doing okay out there.
Yeah. Everybody stay safe.
Yep. Yay.
Okay, moving on to our next genre, we're going to talk ska. We devoted August to ska, you know, we called it Skagist, so we have to talk about the ska records that came out this year. Not
and
a ton.
Because, well, I mean, enough that everyone's like, oh, ska's back. Which will probably, if you tweet that, get you.
Jer's going to get you.
Yeah, you're going to get a reply.
from the CEO of ska.
I love seeing people trying to argue with them. I'm just like, you can't argue with someone who calls himself the CEO of ska.
Who's made a career off of doing ska versions of other songs. Like, I am so happy for Jer.
I get that.
They were made.
A thrill every time I see one of them.
You know, there are some ska records. That's true. I did see quite a few ska records on the list on our handy-dandy Rate Your Music chart for 2020. So I wanted to name a couple that I listened to and really, really enjoyed. First up, the Aquabats. It's their album, Kooky Spooky in Stereo.
And living inside my head is freaking me out, thinking about if it ever got out. There's no way to get away, so I hope and pray that it will stay under my skin. If it gets out, who'll put him back again? X-ray my visions and ghostly transmissions with eyes closed. I hope so. I look in the
And I probably picked the least ska thing I could have for this, but I don't know. There are some songs on this record that have a little bit more dub to it than, say, the last couple Aquabats records. The Devo Oingo Boingo sound is very, very prevalent on this record.
Yeah, I have a question. Does ska still claim the Aquabats, even though they've been doing, like, new wave and power pop and, like, children's music for the last... decade more yeah. than that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because their early catalog was so third wave ska that there's like, I don't know. I don't think you could ever. That's why people still associate Goldfinger with ska when the last like half of their catalog has no horns whatsoever on any of those records. Very few upstrokes. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, Suicide Machines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still gets claimed. Ska for punk. Sure. At least ska punk.
Yeah, this means
it's a deep, deep, deep set influence in the band, which they incorporate more rhythmically now than they do the, you know, the horns over punk.
There are two songs on this album that are very, very heavily influenced by like ska and dub to an extent. It's probably their more ska than they've done on like High Five Soup or Charge. No, Charge was like straight up like. Pop like new wave stuff, but so So the record starts off with like a sound clip that could have been on the Floating Eye of Death, you know, and then it has this like fun charge style synth track about karate, you know, karate body. When this album came out, I kind of wanted to get like super deep on it and then like talk about every single song and all the hidden subtext on this album. Like, there were a few moments on this album where I was like, okay, this is the Aquabats, and it's clearly them just writing songs that sound silly and fun, but I want to get deeper. So, like, I'll do a little bit of it. So, No One Wants to Party and Pajamas On could be spun into songs about staying home during COVID and how Amazon became one of the companies to, like, only companies to make a profit during a pandemic. Or there's, like, the dubby, like, Skeleton Inside, which you can interpret as a song about body dysmorphia and how we're all really just skeletons inside and to let the skeleton out. Walk Off.
No gender, only skeleton.
Walk Off is a song about how we need a general strike and where we walk off our jobs in protest to workers' rights. Like,
you're reading so much, much more progressive politics into Aquabat songs than... yeah. Are likely there.
Yeah, I'm sure the songs are actually just about karate and skeletons and wearing your pajamas and ordering stuff on Amazon. That one felt almost like I don't know, though. It's got a commentary in there, like about the where I don't have to go outside again. Like, that's definitely like there's a little tongue in cheek in there. Like, they came from punk. They know they're Mormons, but still. I went way deep on that.
Well. Lower Mormons, too, so.
Close. What's it called? Close reading? I think that's what I did to this record. Where you just pick an angle and approach the record to that. It's fun. It's the Aquabats. That's literally all you can say about the Aquabats. So, moving on to a band who actually didn't have to like hide their songs in subtext. The Chinkies put out KA Music. Will always appear on any best of list, regardless of which band it is. So this year's entry into the Mike Park Appreciation Club is the Chinkies, KA Music. This is the first new Chinkies record in 18 years. He reunited with Steve Choi of the original Chinkies lineup. And this time they're joined by Roger Camara of No Motive and Kevin Higuchi, who plays drums for Jeff Rosenstock. These four songs are like... pure ska punk. Like, Steve Choi wrote most of the songs, but Mike Park does his lyrics, and so it's definitely his writing and lends his sound to it. But surprisingly, he's not the primary songwriter on the record as far as the guitar work. Standout tracks for me are Our Lips Are Coming Right Through. It's got a huge chorus with like a dancey beat. I love Mike Park's bands. If you need more Mike Park from 2020, he did a single with Catbite this year. And there is a new Ogikubo Station song that came out this year, which was recorded like they're on opposite parts of the country. I don't know. As long as Mike Park's still around, I'll always be including anything he works on.
I love his Twitter too, the Asian Man Twitter.
Yeah,
such a nice, pleasant.
I love that he's just been telling stories on it pretty much most of the year.
He tweeted something about how excited he was about how gray his hair has turned this year.
And I want to turn to another Asian Man Records album. We have Hey Smith, Life in the Sun. So this band is from Osaka, Japan. This is their fifth album. And they sound very much like a 90s third wave ska band. But like on I got some OC Supertones vibes on this one. Like the slick side of third wave ska. Big riffs. They've been around since 2006. I was surprised that I'd never heard of this band before. Especially if like Mike Park has them on his radar. You'd think that he would have done something with them earlier here in the States. But this is the first one he's done with them.
I mean, this is their first release in like 4 years. So
True. I had to resort to Google Translate for a couple of their things online because there's not a lot of U.S. stuff about them. So their name comes from Smith being an acronym for the band members' first names and just adding "Hey" to the front of it. I love Japanese naming conventions when they use like English words. They're it's just a really fun ska record that made me think of like my preteen and early teenage days of listening to ska music. I did want to mention that Danpon has released three things this year. Two solo records, Cars for Sale and the EP called Heartbeat Survival, which was just kind of like redone versions of older songs. Heartbeat Survival is an older song. And then he released a Sharkanoid record called Deathbox. So I love Dan P. I love ME330. These albums themselves aren't really ska records, so that's why I kind of only want to mention in passing, because much like the Aquabats, it doesn't quite make that kind of music anymore. But well, no, Dan P. and the Bricks is like his ska outlet still. But I did want to mention a couple other ska records that came out this year, though, just really, really quick. Kill Lincoln released Can't Complain. They're one of the newer ones that people have been talking about as far as like keeping ska alive. Less Than Jake dropped one December 11th called Silver Linings. That's why you don't make your lists in November. There's a Ska 2 Network compilation called Ska Goes Emo Volume 1. It's not like a true record, I don't believe. It's just more of just a collecting a bunch of the songs that Ska 2 Network did.
Yeah.
And those are probably the big ones this year. Cat Bite did a single with, yeah. I mean, Jeff Rosenstock 2, I guess. I don't think he writes ska music anymore, though, so...
Not really. There's a record from a band called Gray Matter. Not that Gray Matter.
Yep.
Called Climbing Out. That's in the ska lane. They've got some horns. It's more on the ska punk. Some harder sounding stuff. Maybe more along the Suicide Machines lines. But
Suicide Machines also released one.
Yep.
Revolution Spring.
Say that.
Yeah. So I guess as far as activity goes, this year was pretty good for ska. Jer has music coming. I don't think that record's out yet.
Yeah, it's just a single.
We Are the Union, I think, has new music coming in the future too.
Yeah.
There's also the Ska Against Racism compilation, which you can listen to online. I haven't listened to it yet because I pre-ordered the vinyl and it's still not here yet, so I don't know when that'll get here. That probably could have made it on my list, but I didn't want to listen to it before I had it in hand, so it's on Bandcamp. You can listen to that. You know, we should look at that compilation real quick, though. It sold out in, what, 24 hours? Bad Time Records and Asian Man are putting it out together. Tim Time Bomb featuring Jesse Michaels. That's an Op Ivy reunion right there. The Chinkies. Jer. The Planet Smashers. Hepcat. MU330. Kill Lincoln. Less Than Jay. Cat By. Bucko 9. Los Kung Fu Monkeys. The Interrupters. Suicide Machines. Hey Smith. Five Iron Frenzy have a song called While Supplies Last. I should listen to that. Left Alone, We Are the Union, Mustard Plug, Westbound Train, Big D and the Kids Table. Why have I not heard this song before now, this Fiverr song?
Yeah, there's this comp is a great argument against anyone who thinks this guy has been dead for any amount of time. How can there be 28 songs ready to go for a compilation? Come on, that's too many bands.
I will say half of it is bands from the 90s, though, so there's that definitely.
Yeah.
That argument that has been made.
But still.
Regardless.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.